Good evening, everyone. We greet you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather in His name. And I trust that means that He has liberty and that He will get all the glory. That's a desire of our heart. It's been such a joy to be here this week. Just tell you, this evening we have on our heart the subject of love. It's a big subject, and I think I'm going to say, kind of in the onset and at the end, there is higher ground for all of us in this subject of love. You know, I think about John the Apostle John, an old man, in writing those last epistles that he wrote. First John, it just seems like he came over and over again, hitting on my little children. Love one another. It's like after traveling through all the years of his journey, the one thing that he wanted to hit really hard was love one another. I actually thought about that. It's been years ago. I took a boat ride one time in Idaho. We went up the Snake River. It was a jet boat that took mail up to some of the sheep farmers up the river that didn't have roads back in there, and their mailboxes were down right by the river. And we just stopped and put the mail in the mailboxes. But guests could ride along, and it was a jet boat. It was a big boat. And down underneath in the little cabin part, when you went in there, there was a sign there with a list of rules. And I remember the first one. The first one was, don't put your feet on the seat. And then there was number two and number three, and I don't remember what they were, but I remember number four. It was, I said, don't put your feet on the seat. Then there was five and six, and I don't remember what they were, but I remember number seven. It said, I am serious about this. No feet on the seat. Then there was number eight and number nine, and I remember number ten. Look, what is it going to take? Keep your feet off of the seat. Now, I just thought about that, and really, isn't that not the way the Word of God is when it comes to love? We've been admonished so many times to love, and yet still, broken homes in the kingdom of God, broken marriages, churches struggling. How could it be? Could it be that we're not getting the message? I'm going to suggest tonight that there is higher ground for us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we pray so earnestly, oh God, that Your Word would come forth on its own power this evening into each heart. Convict us, oh God, that there is higher ground for us. Teach us how to love. Teach us what it means to love. Show us the stands that love will take. Show us how far that love will reach. Father, may we learn to make our love bigger even than our counsel. Not that our counsel would be small, but that our love would be so big. Father, we marvel that Jesus Christ, when He was in the presence of sinners, they felt His love. God, I pray that the witness from our life would be that those around us would sense the love of God. Show us tonight, Father, the higher ground and lead us into the path, the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us tonight, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our desire tonight is to encourage us to increase our love for God and for each other and for the truth. And that the love within us would be God's love. We're interested in the love of God tonight. His love. Not man's love. Big difference. That's too small. That's too conditional. That's too touchy. I mean, churches fall apart when that's all we've got. Amen? Right. Marriages, homes, break up when that's all we've got. And we're not really interested tonight even in God's love as we sometimes perceive it. Because sometimes we just perceive God's love too small. What we're interested in this evening, as love defined by the Holy Scriptures, as revealed by the Holy Spirit. God's love as it really is in our hearts tonight. John says, the old man John, speaking about love, he said, "Herein is love. Here it is. Not that we love God. Let's not measure love that way. But that God loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." I mean, there it is. Amen? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That love, that great love that moved the heart of God toward us, that love would move in our hearts toward each other and toward the lost and toward the hurting and toward the needy and toward those that persecute us and returning back to God Himself. I would like the title of our message tonight to be Motivated by Love, Driven by It. With that thought in mind, I would like to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I just encourage us all to turn there. I want to read a passage of Scripture here. Then I want to make an analogy from one of the hymns that we sing, and I want to make a few comments on this passage that we read. I would like to begin reading in verse 14 and read to the end of the chapter. This is a prayer from the Apostle Paul. Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye," and here it is, "the love of God, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I think before I move on, I want to make a comment on verse 20. I'll just tell you, this has long been one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I think it may well be because of a phrase that we find in verse 20. The phrase that I like here is, "all that we ask or think." You know, that's our limit. We can't go beyond that. All that we can ask or think. You can't think of something you can't think of. You can't ask for something you can't ask for. But that's a big thing. I can think of a lot of things. I can ask for a lot of things. And what we're talking about here is what God is able to do. All that we can ask or think. But that's not what it says. It says He is able to do above all that we ask or think. I mean, this thing is bigger than we are. We're going to have some faith here to go beyond ourselves to get a hold of what God is willing to do for us. But that's not what it says. It says that He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. I mean, this thing goes so far beyond us. God, give us faith to comprehend what He can do. But that's not what it says. It says that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above our limit. All that we can ask or think. I just think that's beautiful tonight. Isn't that amazing? This is what God can do. But look how He does it. It's according to the power that worketh in us. We got to get a hold of that thing. There is something in here that goes clear beyond ourselves that God can do, that God can use us for. And let's not just notice that this power is in us. Look what it says. It says according to the power that works. It works. I just want to tell us tonight, this power of God that God has placed within us, it works. Don't be afraid to pray big. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Even if you back up here in chapter 1, verse 19, it says kind of the same thing. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who do believe? According to the working of His mighty power. It works. So may God give us a vision of what He wants to do in our life. And it's rather interesting to me that this promise of God comes right in context and in conclusion to being rooted and grounded in love. In the love of God. That's what happens when we comprehend God's love. Now, there's a song that we sing. I want you to use your biggest imaginations and visions here for just a minute. The song is The Love of God, our subject tonight. I want to consider for just a minute the last verse. The last verse says, could we with ink the ocean fill? Now that's a lot of water. Have you ever stood there on the shore of the ocean and just gazed out in the seemingly endless expanse of water? Or have you ever been out in a ship and 360 degrees? All you can see is water. But oceans, and homeschoolers that are here tonight, I mean, there's the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, maybe the Arctic Ocean, plus all the seas. Over 2/3 of the face of the earth is water. And it's deeper going down than Mount Everest is going up. Lots of water. All ink. And were the skies of parchment made? Scroll after scroll after scroll after scroll, filling the depths of all the skies from one end of heaven to the other. Were every stalk on earth a quill? Every corn stalk. Think of the cornfields. Every bean stalk. Every stalk of wheat. Think of the wheat fields. Every stalk that has ever grown on the face of this earth. A pen. Just try to comprehend. Let's stretch ourselves a little here. And every man, woman, and child that has ever lived on the face of this earth, a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. I want you to know tonight, that's a little bigger than we can comprehend. If I tell you to picture 10 men on a mountain, you've got that thing. But this thing is big! And I want you to know tonight, that if it seems a little bit much, I want to tell you, I don't think it's an exaggeration. I think it's very, very scriptural. It's reality. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. That is scripturally very accurate because God is love. God doesn't just have love. God is love, and the love of God is as big as God. And God inhabits eternity. The heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. The love of God most absolutely, definitely, positively does go beyond the highest star. But it also dwells right within our hearts. That's an amazing thing. And the amazing thing is that when God has His way, when that love dwells within the heart of man, it has not shrunk one bit. The unshrinkable love of God. That's why the Word of God says that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I know that's beyond ourselves, but let's believe the Word of God and see what God will do. I don't think these scriptures are in here to tease us. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There is higher ground for everyone here tonight. I don't care how sanctified you are. If you got a vision of God, if you stood before God in all His glory and all His power, and you got a vision of what God was willing to do, if you would have just been willing to pray, to believe, to trust, to move forward, to step into the water, what God would do, there is higher ground for us this evening, I believe. We've of this thing. I tell you, it's a life-changing thing. This is the very foundation of our salvation. This is the love of God, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Have you ever given that way? This is the love of God that needs to be within our hearts. This is the very foundation of our witness. What does the Word of God say about our witness, brothers and sisters? It says, by this love shall all men know that you're my disciples. What does all men mean? No exceptions. It means those that are a little crossways with us. It means those in the church that we came out of. It means those in the church we're moving into. All men will know that you're my disciples when you have this kind of love, bigger than ourselves, way beyond the love of man, dwelling within our hearts, motivated, driven by that love. Where will it drive us? God wants us to have the same love. It's not a lesser love. It's not a different love. It's the same love that God had, that He so loved the world, that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. This is the foundation for our forgiveness, that we would forgive one another. Same love as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you forgive someone, your father, your brother, only out of duty, because you know it's right, and so I forgive you. So you do it. That is going to be a different forgiveness than when the love of God is dwelling in your heart. Do you see the comparison? Big difference. When you draw your strength, your forgiveness, from the same love that God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, when you are drawing from that endless reservoir, your forgiveness is going to be deep. It's going to be rich. You're going to want a relationship with that person. It's going to be more complete. It's going to be more healing. You're going to want a relationship. I want us to know tonight, I believe that is one way to measure whether the love of God is in our heart when it comes down to forgiveness. And that is whether we want to build a relationship with that person. Many times I've seen it happen. Christians, okay, I forgive you, but they really don't have anything to do with each other. That is not the way that God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. It is not. God forgave us, and now He wants to build a sweet relationship with us. I mean, He didn't say, okay, I forgive you, and then He's out of here. No, He walks with us. He desires a sweet relationship. That's the love of God. Pressured forgiveness, which is not really forgiveness, but I'm going to call it that. Pressured forgiveness out of duty often produces discouragement, confusion, and bitterness. That is not the result of the love of God. I believe there's higher ground for every one of us in this area of forgiveness as we get a hold of the love of God within our heart. Our title this evening, Motivated by Love. That's God's love. We want this thing to drive us. We want this thing to be the driving force in our life. The motor within us. That's what motivated means. The motor within us that makes us go, that moves us like Paul. What did Paul say? The love of Christ constrains me. He just couldn't hold back. This thing was so big in Paul's heart, it just drove him. He was not motivated by the flesh. Not motivated by money. Many people are. Many people. That's what drives them.
And then when the need for love comes up, I tell you, they're milking a dry cow. It's not there. But the love of God is big. Not motivated by this world. Not motivated by a cool spirit. There are some people that are motivated with those things. But tonight, motivated by love. All the fullness of God within. God's love. Not a lesser love. The same love in our hearts. Driving us. Motivating us. I just want to challenge you tonight. What would that do to our homes? What would that do to our relationships? What would that do to the relationships of authority? Sometimes I think that you would drain one ocean dry if you could just tell what the love of God would do if it would be in those who are in authority. And you'd probably drain another ocean dry to tell what it would do, the love of God, if it was in the hearts of those under authority. I mean, this thing changes the whole picture. You try to bring authority into God's order and leave love out of it, I tell you, you're going to end up with a mess. The love of God. What does the Word of God say? I believe it's the words of Jesus Himself. He said, on this hangs all the law and the prophets. What does that mean? It means everything hangs on love. I mean, even the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Well, if you love, you just took care of that commandment. Don't need it. Thou shalt not steal. Well, if you love your brother, and just took care of that commandment. Everything hangs on love. Get under authority. Well, if you love God, if you love the ones He placed in authority over you, if you love them, hey, that takes care of the commandment. Everything hangs on this commandment of God. We have this love, the same love that God had. What would that do to our marriages? Men, when our wives get a little needy, if we were willing to die for them and win them back, that's God's love. That's so much bigger than man's love. Instead of divorce them, that's man's love, right? That's the difference right there. Big difference, amen? I mean, that thing is worlds apart. The difference between dying for someone and winning them back or divorcing them and walking away. I tell you, that thing is diametrically opposed. That's centuries apart. Eternities apart. And the love of God and the love of man are just that far apart in every application that you would want to place them. There is higher ground for us. We need to get a vision. That's the very commandment of God for our marriages, men. To love your wives. How? Like Christ. Love the church. Same love. And I've thought, this love of God, what would it do to our churches? When we love one another, just like Christ loved us. The same love in us toward our brother and our sister that God has for us. We claim God's love for us, don't we? I mean, we put it in our testimony. We send it everywhere. Have you sensed your love for your brother with it? Same love! God's love in us. Reality. Lived out. Not shrunk down to our size. His size. All the fullness of God. In us. Toward each other. That is Christ's prayer for us. Do you realize that Christ prayed to God? That we would have that kind of love. Let's turn to it. John chapter 17. I'd like to just read a couple of verses there. John chapter 17. The high priestly prayer. Jesus, I believe, just cried out to His Father. I would love to have heard that prayer. You know, I don't think Jesus stood there and said, "Now, Father, righteous Father, I pray for these." I don't think that's the way it was. I think He had a burden on His heart. He knew what the love of God would do. And what did He cry in verse 25? Oh, righteous Father, The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. Notice this. This is a prayer from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me, the love of God, the very same love wherewith thou hast loved me, may be in them. That's God's prayer. That's God's heart. And I in them. Oh God, give us a vision. The same love, the same Spirit of God within us. There's higher ground here. You read in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If I could quote that there, it says, now if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, same Spirit, not a different one, not one for Him because He had to rise from the dead, and a different one for us, not a special molded one for down here on the earth. No, it's the same Spirit. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, oh hallelujah, is it reality to us tonight? I believe that's the prayer of God. That's the cry of God's heart. Same Spirit, same love. How would that change us? I tell you, we got to get a hold of this thing. It doesn't just create normal, everyday life. Well, actually, it does. It just changes it into a blessing. It lives right in everyday life with us. I mean, here you are in everyday life, filled with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and along comes this temptation. He's had a lot of success. He got a lot of people to yield, and here He comes. And you're filled with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and you get tempted. What's going to happen? I mean, the same Spirit in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead hates iniquity, has power over sin. I mean, get thee behind me, Satan. It's not even attractive. You've got a bigger vision. You've got the love of God. You've got the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in your heart. No wonder we're different than the world around us. Amen? I mean, they don't have that Spirit. They don't have that love. Pray for them. How are they going to get it? How are they going to know if they don't see it in us? That's why Jesus said, by this shall all men know. I mean, they're going to covet that thing in a good way. Well, I want what He's got. So I'm going to challenge you tonight. The world doesn't have that Spirit. They don't have that love. Do you? Is there higher ground? Christ prayed that you would have it. Paul prayed that you would have it. Let's go back here to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to look at this prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 17, Paul says, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. You know, when you're rooted and grounded in something, you've got it. That's not something that just comes and goes. That's not something that, you know, you have it, but not always. You kind of lose it and kind of forget and then get it back. No, if you're rooted and grounded in it, you're established in it. That's just the way you are. That's Paul's prayer for us. It's an established thing to be rooted and grounded in love. And that we would comprehend with all saints. God wants us all to get this. Every youth here tonight, it's a uniting force in the kingdom of God when all saints together comprehend the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of God. Now I want you to look here in verse 19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now I'm going to speak with a burden on my heart here, because this is our subject tonight. This is our burden. That we would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. I'm just gonna talk to you a little bit here. How are you going to know something that passes knowledge? We of ourselves cannot do this. You can't study enough to pass knowledge. I've seen people study enough to pass up common sense a good ways back there. But you can't study enough to pass knowledge. It's not in man to do that. But I want you to know tonight that with Christ, that is possible. These scriptures are not written to tease us. God always reveals Himself to a seeking heart. Like in Hebrews, when it speaks of Moses, it says, Moses, as seeing Him who is invisible. This is what challenges you. How do you see someone who is invisible? Or Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says that the invisible things of God are clearly seen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. God, give us a vision. How does this happen? How are you going to know something that passes knowledge? I'll just tell you, it's going to be more than head knowledge. It's going to be by revelation of the Holy Ghost. There is a seeking. There is prayer before the God of heaven. Like Daniel prayed earnestly to get through. And Gabriel said, the prince of Persia hindered me. 3 weeks he prayed. But the answer's coming many times. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray that God would reveal unto us by the Holy Spirit of God who we are in Christ. I want to back up again to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. It says this. I want you to notice this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That goes beyond knowledge. That's the Spirit of God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I want to back up to verse 17. That the God of Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Notice how you got this. Anybody, what is it saying there? How did you get that? By study? What does it say? That He may give unto you. This is a gift of God. The revelation by the Holy Ghost of the love of God, of the Spirit of God, of who we are in Christ Jesus. It goes beyond knowledge. But that Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You find that all through Scripture. It's kind of like Peter. When Jesus asked Peter, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter answered, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. There's an enlightenment. There's an understanding for which God's people need to pray that comes through revelation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, I want to read that. Chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. You're not going to figure that one out by years of study. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. There are things that are revealed unto us by the Spirit of God that you're not going to get any other way. And you're not going to get it with a divided sacrifice and a divided heart and a polluted offering. It doesn't come that way. That's the burden that we've had in our heart to completely yield ourselves, a full surrender unto God and pray for the gift of revelation of who we are in Christ. Then, what God is able to do, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is the prayer, this is the cry of God's heart, what He wants to do for His people. May God open our eyes. Really, that's what happened on the road to Emmaus when Jesus talked with them by the way. I mean, what happened? all of a sudden, their hearts burned within them and their eyes were opened and they had a revelation. Something was revealed to them beyond themselves. Amen. Are you with me? I mean, they couldn't get that on their own. Or at the ascension in Luke chapter 24, Jesus was with his disciples. And I love this verse. I pray for this verse. It says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Beautiful. Jesus did that. He doesn't say, then they had a 3-year Bible study. And I'm for those things. And I got a point here I'm going to make that encourages that. It brings it on. But there's a point where it's a gift of God. It goes beyond any study and learning that we can do. It's a revelation. So where are we this evening? I just want to pray like Elisha prayed for his servant. Remember his prayer? Lord, open his eyes that he may see. We just want to pray tonight, Lord, open our eyes so that we can see the higher ground that you have for us. We have not attained. Don't go home from this Bible school thinking you've learned everything you can learn now, or teachers that there's nothing else to teach. Pray for a revelation so that God has liberty to work in his kingdom. Lord, open our hearts that we may understand, that we can know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that by faith, through revelation, we would be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 3 here as we continue on in Paul's prayer. When you get this vision, when you know the depth and the length and the breadth and the height, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And if you keep reading there, you're going to end up realizing this brings glory in the church. This brings unity. This brings power into the church of the living God. Instead of contention and division and frustration and unforgiveness, this brings glory in the church. I believe that's God's heart and God's prayer. And opens the door for him to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now I want to mention a couple things here that I believe God has prompted me to say. I want you to think about this. I don't want to be offensive to anyone, but you think about this. This is something that is challenged in our day. If you struggle with the holy kiss, the scriptural kiss of charity, 5 times mentioned in Scripture. If you look at that thing at the level of our society and man's love, and you draw from the love of man and from man's strength to obey that thing and to keep it, if you struggle with it, I want you to know that if that's the way we draw strength from it, I struggle with you. But if you get a revelation of the love of Christ that we've been talking about, that God has been praying that we would have, that Paul's been praying that we would have, the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and we love each other just like Christ loved us. Same love as Christ loved us. Same love as the prodigal son and the father when he saw his son and he just fell on his neck and kissed him. Do you think anybody stood by and said, "Oh, I think he had some impure motives"? No! When the love of God is within us, I tell you, it just changes the whole appearance of the holy kiss. All of a sudden, it becomes beautiful. It becomes appropriate. It becomes holy. It's of God. The world doesn't understand these things. We don't operate on terms of what they understand and don't understand. We operate on terms of what we're filled with. By the Holy Spirit of God. That's why it's in the Word of God. And you youth here tonight, I want to encourage you to bring this love into the relationship with your authority. This love. So often in an authority relationship, there's judgment, skeptical. Who do you think you are?
as the list goes on. Amen? Bring this into your relationship of authority. I've seen this happen when this love comes into an authority relationship, and it is so beautiful. I think I'm going to tell you the story I love about this young girl that had a beautiful relationship with her father. And she wanted to obey him. She had given her heart. But one night, I think it was, I just heard this story. It was after a wedding, I believe. And some of the young people went out after the wedding, and this girl went with them. And when they left, they decided that they were going to do some drinking and go see a movie. And this girl's heart smote her. She didn't want to betray her father. And so in boldness, out of love for her father, out of respect for God, she spoke up and she said, "If that's what you're going to do, please take me home." And they began to tease her. "You know, you're afraid of your father. You're afraid of your dad. You're afraid your father's going to hurt you." And she said, "No, I'm not afraid my father's going to hurt me." She said, "I'm afraid I'm going to hurt my father." Oh, amen. I love that story. God loves that story. You know why? Because God is a father. This is the practical outworking of the love of God. Strength and courage, faithfulness. I think of stories. I love stories. I love poems. I love the poem about the old man who went back to the graveyard where his wife was buried many years before. And he stood there in memory, just remembering how much she loved him. And his mind went back to when they were childhood sweethearts in school. And he remembered there was a spelling bee one day. And this girl's heart was turned toward this young boy. But there was a spelling bee, and it was his turn to spell the word. And he missed it. And he had to sit down. And this girl was next. And she spelled the word correctly. And out of her love for this young man, when she spelled the word correctly, her heart smote her. And when school was out, that's what the poem says, she came up to him and she said, "I'm sorry that I spelt the word. I hate to rise above you." Because her brown eyes lower fell. "Because you see, I love you." He lives to learn in life's hard school how few who rise above him lament their triumph and his loss like her because they love him. I'm just going to tell you tonight, there is a practical outworking of this love of God that brings on humility. It brings on a blessed, sweet love that is felt, that is known. Could God bring that kind of practical love into our homes and into our churches? So often, we're so glad when we excel and someone falls below us. God forbid, that is not the love of God. I just marvel at the higher ground of what would happen in our homes, our churches, authority, when we're tempted. In just our thought life, in everyday life, when we realize what spirit we are of. That the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, same one, dwells within us. And the same love that He loved us, we love others. What that would do. There's a witness there. Well, I want to tell you this evening, we'll bring this to a close before long, but if your understanding of the love of God is just the things that we think of, you know, as being love symptoms, God forbid, let's put those things aside. There are literally some people in the world around us that think that love is a warm, tingly feeling. I mean,
You can get that from taking a hot bath, right? Or by grabbing a hold of a hot electrical wire. That's a warm, tingly feeling, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're in love with it. God wants us to experience the fullness of the reality of His love. And if all the things that we think of as being love symptoms are the way we see God's love, I mean soothing words, a kindly smile, a pat on the back, an understanding heart, never being challenged, never being disciplined, you know, never having our fruit basket turned upside down. If that is what you think of as love, I want to tell you something tonight. The devil can give you all of that. He can give you soothing words, a kindly smile, a pat on the back, an understanding heart, never being challenged, never being disciplined, never turning your fruit basket upside down. That's exactly how He operates. The love of God has to be different than that. This is not the love of God. Many people feel like, God loves me, I'm free in Christ, you can't touch me. This is not the love of God. If that is your interpretation of the love of God, I'm just going to say that you have not yet comprehended with all saints the breadth and length and depth and height and had a revelation of the love of Christ that passes knowledge. You haven't got that yet. It's time to seek the Lord. Nor have you comprehended the holiness of God. I want to make a point here. God is love, but God is also holy. You can't separate the two. The love of God will never compromise with the holiness of God. Did you get that? The love of God will never compromise with the holiness of God. The love of God will never accept evil. I mean, it's the love of God. The love of God reaches to the lowest hell. And I tell you tonight, God will accept you even there. But He loves you too much to leave you there. He will reach you. He will embrace you right there in your sin. But He will draw you. He will melt you. He will mold you. He will change you. He will transform you into the image of His dear Son. And He's so patient. That's my testimony. He is so long-suffering, but it's His love that does that. That draws us unto Himself. God's love will never compromise with the holiness of God. It's impossible. God's love is very jealous for His holiness. His love will always draw you away from this world. I want you to turn. I want you to read a verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. This is a beautiful verse, but it's so clear. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now look at this. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's too clear. The love of God will never lead you or give you liberty for the things that this world has to offer. For the voices of this world. Even the little things. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh God, let's read this verse together. Here we go. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me give you an example of that from the Scripture. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I'm just going to read verses 17 through 21. This is the account of the rich young ruler. When Jesus was gone forth into the way, this is Mark 10, chapter 17. And when He was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Well, that looks good. And kneeled to Him and asked Him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, All these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now, would you agree with me tonight that this is the love of God here? This is God who loved him. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He didn't say, well, I just want to bless you for your dedication. Just keep up the good work. The love of God, in a gracious way, never leaves room for the things of this world. And God knew that this man was motivated by money. And he said, one thing thou lackest. I mean, that's quite a compliment. Everything else is in order. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. That's the invitation of God's love. But God's love pointed out a need in this man's life. That was the love of God that did that. And that's the love of God that will do that for us too. And we're going to have to lay down the very thing that stands between us and following God. God is saying to us tonight, come, take up your cross and follow me. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever money you have that you're holding back for. He is able to do exceedingly above whatever reputation or goods or gifts or talents or whatever it is that you're holding back for. You are sacrificing fulfillment. You are sacrificing everything at the invitation of God's love. Come, take up your cross and follow me. Two things that I want to look at. Luke chapter 7. I want to mention this. I love this passage of Scripture because when someone is born again, so often, and I've heard this, when a testimony is given, it's like there's several points that they need to say and they know they're going to say it, and so they say this part, and hey, being born again, that's not a maturity thing. That's a birth thing. And praise God, we leave room for growth. That's what the love of God does. But I want us to know tonight, there's something a whole lot bigger than just saying the right things. That's not the measuring stick in God's heart of where we are with Him. Let us read here in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees, Simon, desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping. Now remember, what we're looking for here is what God wants, the expression of our heart of being born again, and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Let's lift up the words of the Lord Jesus here. I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Why?
for she loved much. I don't have a record here that she said anything. But the testimony of what was in her heart, I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. Praise God, for she loved much. And that brings us just to the closing comment. When men came to the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, Master, what is the greatest commandment of all? Jesus answered them in Matthew chapter 22. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now I want you to notice here, sometimes we kind of let this first commandment stand alone. We need to love God with our heart and our mind and our soul and our spirit. And we forget about the second one. It's just like it. That's what the love of God will do for our brother, for our sister, in the church, in the family. Jesus said the second one is just like it. The love goes this way and it goes this way. In Mark chapter 12. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it. It's the same account. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first commandment of all the commandments. In other words, he's considering all the commandments here. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That didn't sound like a divided affection. And with all thy soul. And with all thy mind. Sounds like bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. No other commandment greater than these. And for us to fulfill it, brothers and sisters, may we pray for a revelation by the Holy Spirit of God to fill us with love bigger than ourselves. It has to be that way if we're going to have the same love that God had dwell within us. Let's not claim it if we don't have it. Let's repent and cry out to God for it. That's the burden that's on our heart. I think that's what Brother John, the old man on the Isle of Patmos, would have said if he could have stood before the people. He just kept crying out, my little children, love one another for love is of God. Open your hearts to the Lord to fill us with that love. I'm going to encourage you. Make this practical. You know, when I mentioned to you youth, bring this in to your authority. Don't just go home and think some thoughts. It is very, very reasonable for you to go home and embrace your authority. And lean against them in tears. And confess. And repent. And with purpose of heart to make commitments. That will do something in their heart that nothing else can do. But it's just what's in your heart that makes you do that. It's a good thing. In our homes, in our churches, let's have the reality of this kind of love and support for each other. I'm going to open the altar this evening. I just want to encourage you. Seek God. Even if you just come forward to pray earnestly, God, fill me with your love by revelation. Purpose in your heart to seek God. It's not just a revelation that comes out of nowhere. I mean, when did Peter get his revelation of who Jesus was? It's when he was being discipled by the Lord. Amen. So I encourage you, be discipled by those who are over you in the Lord. When did they get their revelation on the road to Emmaus? They were walking with the Lord. I encourage you, walk with God. When did the Bereans get their revelation that none of the other Jews got? It's when they were in the Word. So I want to encourage you to be in the Word. When did the servant of Elisha get his revelation? It's when his authority prayed for him. Build that relationship. Get under the prayers of your authority. Put your music under their authority. Put your heart under the authority that God has placed over you. Balance all Scripture with Scripture. I know there's some hard situations out there. But let's be faithful to God. God will show us the way. I know that He will. I think I'm going to bring this to a close. Let's love one another out of a pure heart fervently. Let's be fervent in spirit. If you look that word fervent up in the Greek, fervent in spirit, it means, it says if it's a liquid, then it's boiling. And if it's a solid, then it's red. Hot. Fervent in spirit. As we cry out to God, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I remember Brother Denny standing here and say, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, brothers, what does avail mean? What does much mean? God is faithful, so much bigger than ourselves. Let's take this opportunity to seek God. Brother Marvin, do you have a song?
352.
And let's all stand. Before the Lord tonight, God is here, God is willing. Let's respond to His promptings.
Number 352. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, Thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art, come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, set Thy own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like Thee, full of compassion, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed
an invitation. If there's anyone who has not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, tonight is the night. Let your love for the Lord and what He has done come forth. Now, there are people who say it's too high a price to pay. They have too many things they have to give up. But I want you to know tonight, you don't pay the price to be a Christian. That price has already been paid. My friend, you pay the price not to be a Christian. And that price you will pay for all eternity. The arms of the Lord are open wide.
Oh, to be like Thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring, thorough reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on My heart. Oh, to be like Thee, Lord, I am come.
God, stamp Thine own image deep on each heart here. Father, now to receive the anointing divine. May we all understand, O God, what it takes for the anointing to come. As it says of Jesus, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee. O God, give us a love for righteousness and for truth, and a hatred for iniquity. Give us the true love of God within our hearts. Fill us, O God, with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And Father, I just want to pray that You will answer the prayers of these Thy people, O God. I don't know anything, Father, that encourages our walk with God more than answered prayer. Give us that testimony, Father. Do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. May it bring glory in Your church. May it bring glory in our homes. May it bring glory in our marriages. May it bring glory in us individually, O God. May we rejoice. May sinners be drawn into the kingdom because of this great love that we have in our hearts from You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.